This is Juan Palomo on Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT World Radio. Just by way of introduction, those of you who don't know, in my normal life, if I have a normal life, I am a columnist for the Houston Post. And for fun, I do things like this. This is my first live interview on KPFT, so this might go kind of choppy, but bear with us. And I think we have a very interesting interview today. We have with us Pat Gandy, who is the co-chair of the Lesbian and Gay Rights Lobby, and Cicely Nguyen, who is the vice president of Agora, which is a new gay PR group. But that's not what we're going to talk to them about. What we're going to talk to them about is the recent issue, or the latest issue, of the Texas Observer. Some of you may not be familiar with the Observer. It is probably the premier liberal magazine in the South. It has been an institution in Texas for quite a while. It is sort of, that is where Molly Ivins got her start and a number of other very famous writers. And it has been a very liberal voice in the state of Texas and in the country. It is nationally recognized. But until recently, it really had not done very much on lesbian and gay issues. But thanks to Pat and Cicely, that has all changed. The two-thirds of the May 21st issue was devoted to lesbian and gay issues. It has 13 stories. Either stories or columns or book reviews or editorials related to lesbian and gay issues. It is a very, very interesting magazine. I strongly urge everybody to go out and get a copy, and we'll tell you where to get a copy soon. But first of all, let me welcome Pat and Cicely. I'm glad you're here with us.
Happy to be here, Juan.
I appreciate this opportunity.
Tell us how this got started. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I will start off on that.
And this is Pat speaking.
Yes,
right?
Pat. Sometime after the election in November, I began to feel that perhaps with the new administration coming into Washington, that there would be a great deal of backlash against gays and lesbians because the gay and lesbian agenda nationally was going to be pushed. I knew that we were having some important issues come up here in Texas. So I sat down and wrote a letter to the Observer in which I virtually pled for them to do some stories about our community and about the fact that we needed civil rights just like we were the last of the minorities, the disenfranchised, not disenfranchised, the disempowered, who did not have full civil rights. And I wrote a long letter about that. And so, and to cut it down now, they invited me to come up to Austin and talk to them about it. And Janet Cohen and I went.
Who is Janet Cohen?
Janet Cohen is another member of the LGRL board. And we were in Austin for a board meeting that weekend and had breakfast with the editor and assistant editor of the magazine and sort of fleshed out things.
What was the initial reaction? Was there any resistance? Was there skepticism? Or were they scared of doing this?
No, they were just sort of like, oh.
Never thought of this before.
Never
huh?
thought of this before, you know? Yeah. Didn't know this was a problem. Actually, they were very easy to talk to and get along with. It was just that they hadn't thought about it. And so, you know, it sort of validates the feeling of mine that oftentimes we don't get things because we don't ask or we don't insist.
Now, there's something unique here in that most magazines, most editors are very reluctant to turn over their magazines to somebody else from the outside. And this is exactly what happened here, is it not?
Yes, they did. They said, look, you can sort of plan some stories and we'll have somebody. And actually what Cicely and I did then was just sort of, okay, they've sort of given us a carte blanche, and I don't know whether they don't have a big staff to organize all this. So if we're going to get everything in, we're going to have to organize it ourselves. And so Cicely can tell you a little bit about that.
They were extremely agreeable to letting us suggest stories and get the writers to do them, and I just thought it would be a good idea to get the stories to them in first-class shape, and so I did some of the preliminary editing on them and worked with some of the writers here in Houston, such as the Reverend Ralph Lasher and Anise Parker and Debbie Moore and Connie Hunt. Connie Moore and Debbie Hunt. I'm sorry. Apologize to both of you. But we had some really fine writers in the community, and they all did a splendid job on this issue. I'm very proud of them. And we sent the stories to Austin, and most of them got in. I apologize to those who didn't make it, but like any publication, they can't print everything.
Was this because of lack of space, or they just...
I think if they had printed it all, the issue would have been twice as large. But that's pretty normal with a publication, as you know, that not everything always gets in.
What is your general impression, your reaction to what you see now? You hold it in your hands.
I'm extremely proud of it. I couldn't be more pleased with the issue. I wish all the stories could have gotten in, but I think everything that got in was just splendid. And I think all the aspects of our lives are covered, and that I think it'll have a tremendous impact. And I was very proud to play a role in that. I did the publicity on it, not only locally but nationally. We mailed out about 100 magazines and press releases about the issue all over the country to TV, radio, and all the magazines and syndicates in the country, as well as liberal TV shows such as Northern Exposure with gay characters. So I think down the road we're going to see some impact from this issue.
Why is it important that people outside of the state know about this? Is it because you'd like for them to emulate what y'all did?
Not so much that. I think, to me, the most important, and I say that with emphasis, the most important story in the issue to me is Reverend Ralph Lasher's article about gays in the Bible. To me, it is the most untold story. Most people in the country, even those who support us, somehow have this notion that the Bible condemns gays and lesbians. According to the last Newsweek poll, about 53% of the people in this country do not accept the gay lifestyle, and I hate that word, but of those 53%, about half of them are the religious right, and they're never going to support us. But the other half, those 25%, I wanted to target them, and I want to begin a national debate on the dangerous myth that the Bible condemns gays and lesbians, because this is the myth that's used against us. This is the myth that kills people, literally. People kill people. People, gays are killed because bubbas are out there saying, hey, God hates gays. I read it in the Bible. Well, it's just not true, and we're even afraid to take on this issue, and until we do, we're never going to convince those 25% that we can reach that the Bible does not condemn us. You know, we have to take that on. We can't just concede it, and we often do. And so that's why I got interested in this project, and Reverend Lasher wrote a really fine article, and I hope everyone reads it, because many people in our own gay community believe that the Bible condemns us, and it's just not true. You know, we beat up on ourselves, we become alcoholics, and a lot of it is traced back to our upbringing. We were taught that the Bible condemns us, that God hates us because we're gay, and it's just not true. And more biblical scholars agree with that, because more and more accurate translations of the Bible are coming out. And one of these days, that point's going to get across, and I want to help that story be told.
This is Juan Paloma with Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT World Radio. We are speaking with Cicely Nguyen and Pat Gandy, who are responsible for the latest issue of the Texas Observer, which is devoted almost exclusively to lesbian and gay issues. I was going to ask both of you to tell us a little bit about your favorite article in this issue. Cicely, you've already told us that, so maybe, Pat, can you tell us and why?
Well, I don't know that I have a favorite. One that I solicited personally was the article about the lesbian out in West Texas. My name born to be a bubba, but my name is Lucille. Now that's a very good one. The woman that wrote it is anonymous. However, I know her personally, and it's a great. I told the Observer that it was our answer to Molly Ivins. She was the gay and lesbian answer to Molly Ivins. She has that humorous, punchy way of writing about things, and
Judging from reading this, I think Molly has something to worry about. She might get some strong competition about this.
Yes, I think so.
Tell us a little bit more about some of the other articles. What do people expect to read here?
Well, one of the other articles, the editorial, for example, that the editor wrote,
I was very interested. In fact, that's one of the things I had asked that they do.
This is not a gay person.
No,
as far as we know, right?
The editor is a straight guy, as far as I know, and he wrote asking for the rest of the liberal community to start paying attention to gay and lesbian civil rights. That was a particular thing that I asked for. I said, well, either print my letter asking for it or you write one. So he did. So I, you know, really want to thank him for that. I really enjoyed all of them. And they're all different in different ways. And they all contributed to an overall picture, which you asked Cicely about whether she would like it to be emulated. And I would like for everybody all over the country to do the same sort of thing in their own communities.
I assume you went to the Texas Observer because you expected it to be the most sympathetic to such a request. But can you envision, say, Texas Monthly doing anything like that, or the other mainstream publications?
Yes, I'd very much like to. I went to the Observer first because I thought, well, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I've been a lifetime subscriber to the Observer. I was, in fact, at the meeting in Austin when the Observer was formed back in 1950-something, when Mrs. Randolph put up the money to buy the old State Observer and the Austin whatever it was, some other newspaper. And so I'm familiar with the Observer. I've read it all the years of my political life, and I knew that they should do what they did, and that if they didn't, then we're going to have to do a lot of hell raising.
Aren't we preaching to the choir here, though? Or there's still a lot of work to be done, even among liberals who we expect to be our natural allies here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of work to be done among liberals who we expect to be our natural allies. There are people who want us to. In fact, one of the points I made to the editors was that too often our liberal friends want us to remain in the closet or just not say too much or not demand too much because they don't want to have to deal with it. They don't mind. They want to be magnanimous with us, but sometimes their religious scruples are. They're like, okay, we'll be open minded and we'll be liberal about it, or we'll be, you know, we'll be
just
fair.
Just put us on the spot.
Yeah,
though.
but don't put us on the spot. Don't confront us.
Don't mention the Bible. It's too controversial.
Yeah, and that.
Okay. What has been the reaction that you've gotten so far, especially among some of your liberal non-gay, non-lesbian friends?
Well, I haven't had time to get a reaction very much. I haven't been able. I've been dealing with so many other things that have come up with the legislature in session and with spending time doing some other things. I haven't had time to check back with them, but
Do you see the possibility of this being an annual issue with the Texas Observer?
I would hope so, and I would hope also that since their consciousness has been somewhat raised, that they will be doing articles more often now. And now that the gay and lesbian community knows that they will do this sort of a thing, there should be articles submitted to them.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope we see a lot more of this, and I would hope that you two would continue to be involved and maybe edit any future editions like this, because you certainly have done a wonderful job. Again, we have been speaking with Cicely Wynn and Pat Gandy, who put together the latest issue of the Texas Observer on lesbian and gay issues. This is Juan Palomo for Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT World Radio.